You.
That was how, what's his name, talked after his tongue was ripped away from the pole.
Oh, Flick?
No.
Flack?
Him too.
From a,
no.
A Christmas Story?
Schwartzy.
No.
Schwartzy.
No, from Dumb and Dumber. When he was,
oh, yeah,
when
yeah,
he licked
yeah,
the pole.
Yeah, yeah.
Harry Swanson pulled his head.
It's Harry, yeah.
Yes.
Fine. It's fine. I'm really fine.
Hello. Okay, so I'll get a couple things here in
you
a second.
You mean Mary Samsonite?
All right, here we go. And if anybody that you know or the listeners would be aware of come to mind when I describe the golfers that I'm about to describe, feel free to throw a name out there
for
fun.
Fair enough.
And if you screw up the first one, I'm going to smack you in the head.
Okay.
Number one. Okay, this is the list of people you meet on the golf course. These are just types of folks you see no matter when you play or where you play, whether you're playing at a Lotion or Augusta or you're playing at a municipal course down the street, you're going to see these kinds of people. Number one on the list, Pat, the rules official. The guy who knows the rules frontwards and backwards. He knows that you can or cannot do this or that.
Is that you?
No.
Trey Schaap?
Yes. Well, Rule 1.779A states clearly that you cannot use the handle of your club to propel the ball towards the hole. Everybody knows that.
To putt the...
Thanks, bro.
To putt it like a pool
ball.
To, pool
to have a beer. Get laid.
No, only muscle milk for him.
Number two on the list. This guy makes me laugh. Excessive suntan lotion guy. I guess I'm the anti guy because I like more UV rays. I don't use suntan lotion on
skin
the golf course.
Skin cancer is not cool, bro.
Whatever.
Skin cancer is not cool.
I'll get it cut off later. My point is I do wear some sort of headwear to cover my face or the top of my head. But I don't use suntan lotion. But it's the guy that's always... guys like Harry King, who I love, but they've always got an extra smear that they didn't quite rub in.
Well, Harry's got to go with the new kind of spray. It's clear.
Oh, no, he's a cream guy. He's definitely a...
Not the clear, but the cream.
He's an 80 SPF cream guy.
Well, he's old. I mean, his skin's thin.
Number five, number three on the list, the par five lingerer. Now, we've all been guilty of this on occasion. I can't hit you, bro, going for it in two. How much you got left? 284, but if I really catch it, get a little rollout, I know for sure I can reach. No, bro, you couldn't. In fact, I'll let you hit it twice. You probably won't hit it on the green. You're never, ever going to get there from 284.
You could be that guy. Are you that guy?
I have been that guy. But here's the thing. If I can hit it within 30 yards of the green, I don't want to scare the guys.
That's the whole point. It's like, what's your point?
You know what I normally do?
If you hit it, yeah.
I've gotten much better about just pulling out 5-iron, hitting it 180 yards, and then hitting my wedge into the green like I'm supposed to.
Sure, but still, I understand. Is it that much of a big deal when you wait till the other folks are off the green? Because if you do get it even 50 yards to the green, it's just kind of like, eh.
Yeah, I don't know. Stop
getting my personal
Here's
space.
The problem is that when I'm waiting on the tee in a scramble, it's always the
Scramble's
guy.
Scramble's different. Yeah.
That's fine. But, I mean, if you're playing a regular course and you're waiting for par 5 guy, invariably he tops it or smashes it 74 yards out of bounds. It's
oh,
that
there's
guy.
No question.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, if you can hit 280
into
a par 5 green, hit me.
I'll tell you two things.
That's cool.
Two reasons I'm not par 5 linger guy anymore. Number one, I normally don't hit a good shot after I've been standing around waiting on it because I have ADD, and if I don't hit it right away, I screw up even worse than usual.
Swing.
Number two is when I see people looking at me like going, really, dumb, you think you're going to get there from 273? I feel very self-conscious, and I also don't want to be rude to the group behind me, so I go ahead and I hit my 5-iron layup. Number four on the list, the golf ball warehouse guy. This is a guy also known as Roger Scott. Many golfers hope to play 18 holes using a single new ball. This guy is not most golfers. Starts with a Pinnacle, a few holes later, Top Flight. Hey, who's playing the Strixon XTX out? Or the Top Flight refurbished X out? On 13, he's using a white ball Mojo written on it. And I'll be like, well, look for balls. The only thing that's annoying about this is you're looking for your shots.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, well, this isn't yours. You've been playing a Top Flight. Well, no, I'm playing a Mojo now. Why? Yeah. Well, because And then he's also the guy that will do the, I hit my Titleist that I like into the green, but now I'm putting with a Pinnacle. Well, why?
Is he the guy that every time you turn around you can't find him, he's somewhere in the woods or the weeds looking for a ball too?
Well, no.
That is a guy that I can't see.
In Roger's defense, he's typically looking for his ball. And then he's dropping a different brand. Number five on the list, never has a ball marker guy. That guy's annoying. Ball marker guy / never has a... He'll have the tee. He'll stick a tee in the ground. It's like, hey, dude, that tee is right on my line, so you're either going to need to move it way out of the way, or, I don't know, carry a ball marker since you play golf like all the time. Maybe you could carry one with you. I don't know. Just thought.
But you'd have to do the ball marker if it's in line.
And invariably, if he has a coin in his pocket, right, it's like a half dollar. I'm like, who carries half dollars?
I don't like penny or a dime guy.
I use
a nickel guy.
I only use foreign currency. So I have some yen in my bag that I keep my markers in, and I've got a couple of pesos.
I use my Aleutian ball marker. But that's just me. That's just me.
Who'd you steal that from?
I was there once.
On the grounds?
That I knew somebody who got it for me.
Number seven, I'm skipping the insurance risk because that's lame. Number seven's the storyteller. I have about three people like this. In fact, I was playing with my boy Haney the other day, and I said, hey, Haney. And I called him by another guy's name who likes to tell stories. I don't mind if you tell stories, but there's a proper time and place at the golf course to tell stories. In the clubhouse after the round over a cocktail? When you're on the putting green before the round starts? When you're in the cart between shots or holes? The time to tell a story, and certainly to start a story, is not when there are four guys and you're the fourth to hit and it's your turn. That is not the time for you to start a story. Hey, the funniest thing happened to me the other day. My boss and I were, look, dude, right now, I don't care about anything you tell me. All I want you to do is hit your freaking tee shot, get back in the dang cart, and then tell me your dumb story.
You know when you tell these little stories, make sure you have a point. It makes it so much easier on the listener.
And by the way, story guy, those aren't pillows.
They tell that story because once they tee up the ball, all eyes are where?
I'm usually looking at my phone.
On them. Exactly. So that doesn't even work.
I'm not paying attention.
Clearly,
so don't worry about me.
You're not listening to any of Haney's stories in the cart, pre-round.
No, I do.
Post-round.
I like his
stories. So the only time he could possibly get your attention is when he tees up the ball.
I love Kevin Haney.
Listen to him more.
No, he's one of the most entertaining people I know. The only problem with Haney I have is this. He has Steve Sylvanitis.
I love Steve Sylvanitis.
And Steve Sylvanitis includes two different things. One part of Steve Sylvanitis is, I'm telling you a story, and I walk out of the room in the middle of the story only to return 5 seconds later and continue the story, even though I had just left. But I will not be here for the end of the story. I will continue telling it as I leave the room again. The other part of Steve Sylvanitis is, I will tell you a story with great vigor, as though I've never told you this story before,
even though
I have told you this story 37 and a half times.
I love it. I love it. Listen to Haney more. That's all I ask. Just listen to your friends more. Maybe they have something that's useful to tell you.
Okay, the only problem about Storyteller, one other thing I have an issue with is when I am GPS cart guy, and I am, how far is it? 155 yards, but, and I like to be the caddy. I like to be the sort of the surrogate caddy for folks and say, here's the distance, here's the wind, here's the elevation. It typically plays X, especially if it's a course that I'm playing, that I play a lot, that they don't play a lot. And then he's telling his story while I'm trying to give the information to the other golfers, which is critical to club selection and shot.
Maybe, just maybe, the other golfers are just being nice. They don't really care about your information.
I think you're on to something. They would rather hear Haney's story for the 37th and a half time.
You see the dead spot? Hit it right at the dead spot. You're dead spot guy.
I am dead spot guy.
You see the dead spot behind the other dead spot? Right next to that dead spot. Hit it over the dead
spot. I like the caddy, even on the greens. I like to give you an aiming point.
I'm like, what dead spot?
Does it or does it not work? Okay, good point.
Depending on where we play.
I'll be more specific next time. Well, we're at Aleutian. There aren't any. So then what? Now you're totally screwed. Number eight is Mr. I Don't Carry Cash. It's the guy that always wants to bet. Hey, we're betting, bro. Hey, buck a hole. After the round, it's like, nah, not a cash. I will say I was guilty this last time. I owe a guy $8, so I'll pay him later. Number nine is the catchphrase machine.
Once.
The guy that, he uses from Caddyshack or...
He's got something for every shot.
Tin cup. Hey. I know Matty Tilo's a tin cup line.
Those are my favorite.
What's a long drive guy?
Him too.
Billy Madison?
Yeah.
No, that's not his name. What?
Happy Gilmore,
yeah. I don't need your lines.
Apollo Creed, yeah.
But I'm guilty of this, too. I'm a catchphrase guy. Number 10 on the list, huddlers. I'm not familiar with this. Why is your foursman walking over every shot? Or waiting over every shot? Okay.
See, that's something that you do that I'm like, bro, get off me. Like, I don't know. Actually, sometimes I like it because you sometimes will help in the direction. But we'll be riding other carts, and you'll pull up next to me.
Yeah,
and wait for me to hit, which is very polite.
Well, you just got mad at me because you said I'm not showing enough interest in my co-players, but now I'm trying to show interest in your shot, and I want to see up close what Shank looks like, and you're irritated about it?
Okay, I'm just like, give me space!
You just pulled a La Mirada baseball coach cross-up. You just contradicted yourself. Okay.
I don't like people staring at my rear end while I'm trying to hit.
This is the guy that I'm finding harder and harder to find. Annoying Golf Digest tip guy. Well, you know, if you rolled your right hand over, you wouldn't pull the ball so much. You know, you need to stand further away. You need to stand closer to the, you know, your posture's bad. You know, that guy. I don't get that guy. Nobody does anymore. People have gotten to the point where they realize golf fixer guy without requesting help. Like, if I come to you and go, hey, am I lined up wrong? What did I do there? Did you see anything weird there? What happened there? You know, that's fine. But if it's just you offer it without being asked, not good. Don't do that. And then number 13, this is my favorite one. And we didn't have actually 13. We only had like 11. But demonstrative score counter. I only see this guy about five times a year. He's not quite as rare as like an ivory-billed woodpecker, but I don't see this guy very often, but I love him. He's like, okay, one, two, three, four off the tree, five there, six in the bunker, seven in the bunker, eight out of the bunker, nine putt, 10, 11. So I had a 12, put me down for a 12. I'm like, you can't keep track better than that. It's so funny watching them go back and get you do this sometimes, too.
When you hit the ball 12 times on one hole.
I do all the time.
You got to go back and replay each shot.
Let me make a suggestion to those of us, like me, who have double-digit numbers on holes all the time. After you get to about seven, you need to go back and go, okay, I'm at seven right now. So I'm thinking, okay, if I get down in three, that's a 10. So I kind of have a feel for where I am. I don't wait till the end and try to think all the way back through all 10. First of all, it's depressing. Second of all, it's exhausting.
Yeah, I don't want to get down on myself by saying, okay, that's a third time and I'm not even close to the green.
No, when I make it to seven, I go, you know what? I hope I chip this next one in for eight.
Or you could be like my brother.
I'm positive. I'm like Rick Schaefer.
Here's my brother, Colin. He's like, one, two, three, four, five, six. I'm putting for bird. I'm like, no.
That's Scotty Adams.
You're not putting for bird.
That's a Scotty Adams move. I like that move.
You just got it seven. How are you putting for a birdie?
I love that. It's par eight. Duh.
Duh.
Oh, the aforementioned. Hang on one second, Matty T, and then we'll take this time out. Cale Gober.
How are we doing?
Oh!
I was just singing your praises earlier as the greatest thing that Jeff Long has done in his entire tenure at the University of Arkansas. So I know you were forced now to disagree, but I know in the back of your mind you're thinking, probably true.
Yeah, he's a pretty sharp guy, yeah.
No, you know, I was calling to contribute to the conversation about the guy who always tells you what you're doing wrong. And then you mentioned it after I called. But there is nothing more annoying than a father-in-law. I mean, a person who says, you know, who's like, well, yeah, I've been telling you to roll your wrist over for 2 years. I'm like, dude, you're 27 over right now, and we're on hole 12. That is annoying. Yeah, I can't do it anymore. And then this is the other one. This is the other one. Well, when I was your age, I could hit it 325 right down the pipe every time. That one. That one drives me nuts. But then you got to the guy after I called.
You're like you only played golf in a parking lot your whole younger years, huh?
But y'all were just crushing it down marble hallways. That's incredible.
Okay. I think I'm the only person that this bugs, Cale. But this one irritates me too. It's like, can't make more than double. Pick up after double. I'm like, what do you mean pick up after double?
Absolutely.
I saw Rory McIlroy make a triple the other day. You tell me I can't make a triple? I mean, how about if I just play the hole out, and if I happen to make an 8 and I want to write down an 8, I'll write down an 8. I mean, are you telling me that it's like so outside the realm of possibilities, or it's just like so bizarre that I actually want to keep my score and that I'm not allowed to write down a triple bogey?
Absolutely. It drives me nuts. And this is along those same lines. This is another one. Let's say that you have like a 4-foot putt for bogey, and then you miss it, and it goes 6 feet by, and then they pick it up.
Yes.
What do you do? There's meat on the bone, fella.
Although Justin is a little generous with his. That's good.
I give.
He's a little too generous.
Well,
it kind of irritates me.
Well, look,
I could have made it.
Here's my philosophy, Cale, and I know you probably, if you played in four balls or any kind of match, you'd do this too. You give, and then the last couple of holes, you're like, sorry, bro, 4-footer, got to make it. But it's like, bro, I haven't put it in a 4-footer. Yeah, and he's like, I haven't put it in a 4-footer all day. I'm like, exactly, dumb. I'm manipulating you, and you didn't even realize it.
No. Yeah, you know, and I have one.
I'm the puppet master.
I have a 40-second story about another country club sport that I have to tell. This is a phenomenal story. So
wait till we're on the tee box and it's your turn to hit, and then you can tell it.
I know. I heard you talk about that. So here's the deal. I was playing tennis. I was like in high school. I'm a terrible tennis player, but a bunch of my buddies were playing tennis. There's these guys two courts over. They're probably, you know, mid-40s, 50s. Really, really loud guys. It's really like more like gladiator tennis than anything. And they get into this argument. And the argument is about who knows more about tennis. And so we're just kind of listening.
Awesome.
And these guys, man, I've been playing tennis for 20 years. I've been playing for 22 years. No, you hadn't, because you broke your leg. You didn't play for a year. They're going at it. And this finally, the conversation ends with this guy saying, I know more than you do. We're not going to argue. It's 22 to 21. I'm winning. 22 to 21.
Tennis
was like 15-30-40. Did you know that?
That reminds me of... Yeah, well, obviously they know. Well, maybe it was a tiebreaker. That, you know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of the guy that calls up and qualifies his Razorback fandom. Now, look. I've been a Razorback fan for 23 years, so what? I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
okay,
that's right. I love
have
it.
Have you been a dumb Razorback fan for 23 years? Is that possible?
Another annoying one is whenever you're trying to hit your second shot, somebody mopes off the green, and then they sit there in their cart and count their scorecard for 45 seconds before they pull off. Because like, I'm not gonna hit my shot until you pull off, so please pull off and then write.
Okay.
So do that
that's,
next time.
That's
for
a
me,
message
okay?
to you, so take that one to heart.
All right, I just got a message. You know what's annoying, says Matty T, is guys who call up and talk for 4.5 minutes when
that's
we
not
a break.
What I said. I just said it's time for
Kale.
Break.
No,
I love
we are
the,
behind.
I love the Goat Meister.
Gobes, call anytime, babe. Love you.
There you go.
See you.
Take care, man. Kale Gober. Piece of work. Hey, John, hang on. We'll get to you out of the break. 11:53. We're at Jim's Razorback Pizza. We are in Hot Springs. What a beautiful place. I love it. The Spa City.
Oh, yeah.
Will you give me a massage?
Oh, no.
Okay.
I remember our old country home.